Welcome back, everyone. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com in association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. Dan Canobio, the champ, Chris Algieri. We're coming to you on Wednesday, June 10th. We're recording this as the Knicks are up 2-1. So we're recording this on Wednesday, on the eve of Game 4. So this episode will probably go out Thursday. The Knicks will either be up 3-1 and on our way to a championship, or tied at 2-2, and my butt cheeks will be even more clenched. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm going to say this. I was not surprised they lost Game 3. First game at home. I just expected it. They looked off. It looked like they were, I don't know, they were high on their own supply. They were back in New York. They were probably up late the night before from all the fanfare. I was expecting that. But I also expect them to right the ship, get this win tomorrow night so we can take the lead 3-1.
I know this is a boxing pod, but the Knicks, this finals has taken over like the sports world. I mean, I saw something like 44% of homes in New York were tuned into Game 2 last Friday, which is like 88% higher than the finals last year. I was in the city on Monday for Game 3 doing stuff with FanDuel, walking around the city, had my nephew with me. We went to Central Park. We went around the garden. It felt like we're like part of history. I feel like we're witnessing something historic. Like, oh my God, can you believe it?
Well, hopefully.
It kind of felt like when I walked into the arena for Mayweather-Pacquiao, like you almost couldn't believe that it was actually happening. And that was 2-0, and I agree, because like 2-0, it was almost like a party vibe, and it went from potentially like a blowout fight, like a first-round stoppage, to now we got ourselves a fight. We got ourselves a 12-round, hopefully not 12 rounds, because 12 rounds would be equivalent to 7 games, because then I don't know if I can survive 7 games, but things are good. New York City's buzzing.
I think there's a good chance we might get there. I feel 7? Like, I feel like, you know what it is? I'm getting, in my old age, I'm getting really sour. I'm like, I feel like they're going to do that on purpose so they get more games and more airtime, more advertising space, more money, more revenue.
The conspiracies are flying.
Conspiracy, yeah.
You see Wemby pretty much chokeslam Brunson, no call.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like Brunson got beat up.
Yeah, Brunson's getting he's going 12 rounds with Tyson Brunson. He's getting his ass
every
kicked.
Game.
Every single game. Yeah, there is a theory out there that, you know, they want to extend the series, more money, all that.
But even that, even if you're not being conspiratorial, if you watch the state of play of every game so far, it's back and forth, it's neck and neck, it's a really nip tuck, competitive game of play. So I feel like we're gonna get games out of this. We're gonna get rounds out of this one, Dan. We're gonna see rounds.
How many more boxing cliches can we work into basketball? Book? It's a heavyweight fight. It's high. Last one, Spike Lee. They asked him, is there a similar vibe in New York in terms of, is there a bigger ticket in the history of New York sports than Game 3 of the finals? And he had a great one. Ali Frazier won.
Wow. That's rarefied air. You're putting him, that's in like
it's
God
up there.
Territory.
Yeah. Because think of the Yankees crazy. Have had plenty of World Series games. The Mets haven't had a few World Series games, 2015, 1986. Rangers were in the Stanley Cup like 10 years ago and then won it in 94. This is it for New York. Ali Frazier, 1971. Frank Sinatra ringside taking photos, one of the greatest sports scenes, pop culture scenes ever. Yeah. Then we got
one of the greatest sporting events of all time.
Oh, one of by far.
I mean, crossed the most over. Historic. Yeah, exactly.
So my eyes will be on that. I'm heading down to Orlando for MVP card. You're heading to where? Where are you going?
Grand Rapids, Michigan for a Demetrius Alita card.
So we will be traveling as usual. This upcoming weekend, keeping an eye on the boxing, of course. Keeping an eye on the Knicks, of course. I'm trying to keep everything. We got a UFC 250, which we'll talk about in a second.
The White House card.
The White House card, which I think will get a lot of eyeballs. I think will be a lot of curiosity. I think a lot of people tuning in just to see what it looks like. And those are some big names, so we'll have some picks coming up in a second. But we start off our show with some more Twitter news. Another Twitter fight was made in boxing. Devin Haney and Shakur Stevenson agree to a 144-pound catchweight via Twitter.
Okay. Now, that's all well and good. Is it going to actually lead to negotiations where we're going to put some pen to paper?
Because
otherwise,
not.
Probably not, exactly. I mean, how many times have we done this with Devin and Shakur? I mean, we've done this so many times, time and time again. I don't want to be let down again. I'm not getting my hopes up at all. But let's chat about it anyway.
Let's chat about it anyway. Shakur says, it's only fair that we meet at 144. We are two champions in two different weight classes. He cited Floyd and Canelo, their catch weight of 150 pounds, the 2013 fight. He said, Haney, you fought at 144 just two fights ago against Jose Ramirez. So that was some really good points. Haney retweets it, go back and forth. Shakur says, so if I go, if 140, no, I think Haney said it. Yeah, Haney said, 144, we have a fight. Shakur says, yes. I think that was the biggest obstacle.
Is that for the welterweight title? Would that be for Devin's welterweight title?
Yeah.
Okay, because when I fought Pacquiao, same situation. I was 140-pound WBO champ. He was 147-pound welterweight champ, WBO champ. And we met at 144. And only his title was on the line. Because obviously it's above the 40-pound limit.
Yeah, I think could be wrong here. I think if it's above what I think 144 or higher, it could be for the belt.
Yes. Yep.
So more than halfway. Welterweight belt. Yeah, so the title would be on the line. But leads me to my next question, because we saw that Haney and Keyshawn Davis, that was last week's news that we led off our show with the WBO, has not ordered it, but they were preparing to order the fight between Keyshawn and Haney. What does this leave Keyshawn? Where does this leave Haney? Haney hasn't fought this year. I feel like Haney could pretty much choose who he wants to fight here, at least push for who he wants to fight here. Obviously, Shakur would have to agree. He would have to put his money where his mouth is. Will he actually fight Devin Haney? Will he go up to 144? Will Shakur go down to will Haney go down to 144? Should Haney fight Shakur Stevenson or Keyshawn Davis?
I'll take either one. I mean, the bigger fight is Shakur because he's the current 40-pound ring champion. And it's Shakur Stevenson, who's just, I mean, not that Keyshawn isn't at that level, but he's not. He's not there yet. And it's no knock on him. He just needs more time, more experience, and more big-name opposition, where Shakur already has that. So the bigger fight is certainly Shakur.
What's the better fight? What's the better fight?
I'll take either one of these. The more entertaining fight would be Keyshawn and Devin.
No, I agree.
The more entertaining fight is no question, because Keyshawn is wildly entertaining. He is a really fun watch. And with Shakur and Devin, it's going to be matching wits and playing chess.
Yeah, I agree. The Shakur Devin means more to the history of the sport. Like, we got two guys that are in the top 10 pound for pound, name recognition. Like, you can make a case that the winner is top three, especially with Usyk sliding. And you're right, though. It would be more of a chess match. It would be more of a jab fest.
Matching wits.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way, jab fest, but it's just going to be a jab fest.
This is boxing, baby. Like, the jab is the most important punch in the book for a reason. That's the kind of fight, like, I would love to see that. And I felt like that with the Teofimo Lopez Shakur fight, and you know, Shakur washed him. Can he do that to Devin?
That would be nuts.
That's a crazy thing to think about.
For Shakur to go from Teofimo to Haney, just starts knocking these guys off one by one.
Smoking champions in their prime, like in their weight class. She's going up to their weight class and beating them up, and then, you know, basically mugging them, pantsing them, belt and going home.
David Benavidez-ing them.
Yeah.
I mean, he no-sold me so hard on that. I was so excited to bring that up to him. He put it to rest. He's like, good one, man.
Dead and gone. Dead and gone.
No. I'm the Mexican monster. He's like, Mike Tyson gave me that name, not some random white guy calling me a mugger. Yeah, he shut that down real fast. Keyshawn, yes. Keyshawn would present something different to the table for Haney. We talked about this last week. Keyshawn is a big name in the sport. He's not Shakur Stevenson. But stylistically, a Haney-Keyshawn fight would be pretty fire. The Shakur-Haney fight would mean a lot, but it would be, like we said, a little bit of a staring match towards kind of, I'm going to go with that phrase. It's going to be a staring match. 23 punches around Haney averaged in his last fight against Brian Norman. Without that second round knockdown, and you can't just take that away, but that kind of was the saving grace for Haney. He just does what he does. He slows down the pace to a crawl. I would like to see him try to do that to Shakur. The hardcores would be extremely into that fight. We'll see. But there was a report out there from our guy Sean Zittel, who's become just like boots on the ground reporter here. Good dude as well. He reported that Zuffa wants to sign both guys, Devin Haney and Shakur, and they want to stage that fight immediately. But he went and said...
They didn't sign them already? I thought they already did.
God, it's like the worst kept secret in all of boxing. Like, you have Eddie Hearn pretty much spilling the beans, saying Shakur's going to sign with Zuffa. Dana White, when he's asked, just smiles and says, we're going to sign everybody. But there was a report, rumor, whatever you want to say from Sean, that Zuffa wants to sign Shakur and Haney and put that fight on next. Shakur's team is not so keen on making the Haney fight right now. So that's why we got this WBO mandatory situation thrown up there. I don't know. I think Haney needs to figure it out. Haney needs to figure it out because we're once again.
Haney needs to get in the ring.
Dude, it's June. This is absurd. He's getting in the ring. Haney's not.
He's one of the best fighters in the sport, and he's not active. We need our champions to be active.
So what would you say it would be, like, percentage wise, like,
of Shakur and Haney?
Yeah,
being next. I'm closer to zero than I am 100. Put it that way.
Haney, Keyshawn. Like, Haney can't strike out on both these guys. He's kind of like, I wouldn't say painted himself in a corner, but it's like, dude, you're one of the biggest stars in the sport, whether you like him or not. These are two names now that are being presented, or two names that are, we have mandatory positions, we have Twitter pressure. So Haney needs to pick one. Because he can't just go and settle for some unknown or another fight that he's going to walk over.
I could see the Keyshawn Haney fight happening before I can imagine the Shakur Haney fight happening. I think that's going to take a lot longer. Even though we're getting a big push, obviously, from the ring, their help would definitely could make this fight happen. Otherwise, I mean, it's going to take a boatload of money. They got it, but Keyshawn. That's going to be one of those fights where I feel like Team Haney can look at that and be like, he's coming up another weight class, and he went the distance his last fight, doesn't have that experience under the big lights the way that Devin does. He's going to have the experience advantage, the size advantage, and maybe even stylistically, Keyshawn might fit in better against Haney than Shakur would against Haney. So I don't hate that fight. I might even lean towards Haney as being the favorite in that fight. I think probably betting odds he would be. I like both fights, but if Keyshawn was next, I'd be happy with that.
Speaking of inactive fighters, there was a report out there Rolly Romero could return this fall, possibly on DAZN, which would be interesting because Rolly has such close ties to PBC and has fought on Prime Video, PPV.com, the last couple fights, but it's not going to be a big name. It's according to Coppinger, it's going to be more of a tune-up fight, considering he hasn't fought since May of 2025. And a name that's being thrown out there is Nestor Bravo, Puerto Rican from Orlando, who has a KO over that big knockout over Pedro Campa on the January card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was nasty. Has fought a bunch at 140. Obviously, this will be at 147. Romero is a titleist at 147. I just want to see these guys.
The title would be on the line. That would be a sanctioned title fight.
I don't see how it wouldn't. Because I mean, it's not. Yeah, they don't do that.
Yeah, right.
I don't hate that.
When you fight once every 15 months, yeah, you can't take non-title fights.
When they elevate you to super champion for avoiding your mandatory for over a year. Then I guess you remain the champion at that point. I think the WBA is just going to keep on letting Rolly do whatever he wants. So Nestor Bravo, it's not the name that we want to see. Do you want to see Rolly back in there? I feel like he's lost so much momentum. He's a year celibate. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Why would you see it? You're not on Twitter as much as I am. Well, you might have seen, I think we talked about it on the show, he randomly met up with Dean the Great and Broner on stream. And he just threw that out there, Rolly, unprovoked, unasked.
I mean, that's kind of how Rolly rolls, right? He does not need to be provoked.
Said he hasn't nutted in a year. And Broner goes, yeah, that makes sense because you're a weirdo. Like, you give off weird energy.
Two guys who do not censor themselves, Broner and Rolly. That's the meetup that I never knew I needed.
You think Broner's going to get back in there? Like, this all leads to Broner getting back in the ring, right?
No, I don't think so.
In some way, whether it's a celebrity match, whether it's nonsense.
He needs professional help to get over what he's going through right now.
What do you mean? He's not going to get help. He's a star. He's a streaming star now. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. alcoholism is no joke. That's a very damaging drug. It's a really difficult drug to get off of. You need professional help with that. We were talking about it. Actually, I was talking with the CEO of Gary Jonas of ProBox TV, because Gary owns a bunch of treatment centers, like drug and alcohol treatment centers. I'm like, we need to get Broner over here. Get him over to White Sands. Let's get him clean and then get him a fight. Because, I mean, I think you've got to address that before you can talk about him making a legitimate comeback.
Him, I don't know. Is that streaming material? Like, I agree. I think that he is an alcoholic. He's ballooned up. He said he's at cruiserweight right now. He's got a just ridiculous stomach. But he's now,
dude, and that's not just fat, that's visceral fat that alcoholism develops. Is also swollen liver and organs. Like that's serious stuff. I mean, the beautiful thing about the liver is it can heal itself. It is the only organ in our body that can regenerate. So the damage that you do to it is reversible. And he's still not that old. I think he's 37, 36.
Yeah.
So yeah, there could be time to right the ship, but he's got to get healthy first.
His face, he just looks so old. Like what alcohol does to your face, like his face, like that's the most shocking part to me. Yeah, the stomach is huge, but he used to blow.
The fact that I'm 6-7 years older than him is wild.
His face looks super old, but like another thing too, it's funny with him being such a streaming star now and back into the limelight is like all these new fans or just people in general, these young kids that watch streams are just now discovering Adrian Broner. But what they don't remember or they don't know is that he wasn't the most exciting fighter. Like his fights were kind of boring. Like his fights kind of sucked towards the end. Like he had a good run with the up to the Maidana fight where they were entertaining.
Well,
for the most
part,
he
threw
30 punches around.
At the smaller weight classes, he was super legit. At 30 and 35, yes. And even up to 40 is when he kind of really hit his height. Those fights at 47, none of them were good.
Brutal.
None of them were good.
Horrible watches. So it's not like we're begging for a guy to come back that's going to light it up and give us these great nights. Like most boxing fans know the Adrian Broner experience. This guy was just horrible to be around. He was disrespectful to like Al Bernstein and everyone he came in contact with. But he's having a rebirth here with the stream, and I don't think he's going to get help.
He's made for streaming.
He's not going to get. That's why I don't think he's going to get the help. Like him getting sober, that ends his streaming career, sadly.
And also, I mean, I don't know how many people around him actually care about him and his.
Well, everyone says they care. Good. Like Rampage, when I was talking to him off camera, like yeah, he says he cares, but I don't know. Like Ryan Garcia, although I like to help him, Errol Spence was the only guy that actually said the right thing, and that's an Errol Spence. I'm not going to say anything to you guys. I'm not going to give a message to you. I'm going to go and call him, which I have plenty of times. So I love that from Spence, the big fish.
Yeah.
That's why Spence is Errol Spence.
Yeah, that's a mature answer. That's what someone who really actually does want to help you would say.
All right, let's get to our FanDuel segment here on the show. We said we're going to talk a little MMA. This Sunday, June 14th, Ilia Topuria, Justin Gaethje headline a massive night of fights live from the White House lawn. Yes, Freedom Fights 250. You will be tuning in on Paramount Plus. You will be watching on social media. It will be a big time thing. FanDuel is making it even bigger and better with not one, but two 50% profit boost tokens. All customers can claim two 50% profit boost tokens to use on any fight this Sunday. That means the profit boosts can be used for any bet on any fight, a same game parlay, a money line, a method of victory, whatever you want. I've been studying this card, and you know it's a big card when I recognize pretty much all the names. Justin Gaethje, heard of him. Ilia Topuria, heard of him. Topuria is the guy that keeps calling out all the boxers. He's got hands. He went through a divorce. This goes into my picks, Chris, and I'm going with something crazy off the bat here. Justin Gaethje upset USA. You get that money line plus 370, stoppage plus 550. I think it will be a stoppage. He's not going to go. This fight ain't going the distance.
Wow. So I do know these guys because, I mean, I don't follow MMA super closely, but I know strikers. And there's a lot of strikers on this card. I actually like this card. You got strikers against strikers. So you got Gaethje and Topuria. Topuria is one of the best strikers in the game today. Real knockout puncher, can sets up shots beautifully, sets traps, and has lights out power. Gaethje is a sick athlete. He's wild, man. He's down here. He does his training camps down here, and the coaches all tell me that yeah, he's just a freak of nature. Like he's doing backflips for warmups. He's super strong. Hits hard with punches and kicks, both hands, both feet. But I'm gonna go with the age factor. Little long in the tooth, Gaethje. He's been in some really tough wars over the years. Tupora has not. I think both guys have game-changing power. I think both guys will bring it. I think they're going to stand. They're going to trade. There's going to be opportunities for Gaethje to land that no-hitter quitter, which we've seen him do before. But I think Tupora, with his technique, he's a little tighter. And I think he just gets there quicker. So I got Tupora by KO or TKO or stoppage, whatever. Probably somewhat early. I think these guys are going to come out banging, and I think one way or the other they're going to get clipped, and I don't think we get a lot of rounds.
Well, I thought Tupora by stoppage would be a wider line. It's -210. That's pretty good. It's not like minus.
No, it's not crazy. It's not like
500, which people are explaining like that Gaethje's going to get just slumped like 10 seconds into the fight.
Very possible, but this is MMA, and I think this is something we're going to learn now that we're delving into MMA betting. Very different betting.
Oh my god,
it's very very different. It's very very different because there's so many ways to win,
and there's even lines.
Yeah. You're not going to have wide. They're not going to be wide because anything can happen, especially if you got a guy like Gaethje who's so dangerous.
Speaking of even lines, Alex Pereira.
Oh, I love this fight.
Ciryl Gane, Pereira going up to heavyweight. Pereira, money line, -1. It's a pick-up fight. Both guys, -113. But where there's a little bit of value here is if you're a Pereira fan, he's one of the most over guys in the MMA world. Pereira stoppage, +150. So it's pretty much even on the money line, pick 'em. Pereira stoppage, +150. That's what I have my eyes on.
Yeah, that would be my bet. Pereira comes from kickboxing, K-1. He's a very, very, very good high-level, world-class level striker. Which we don't get a lot of those in MMA. We don't get that crossover very often, especially guys who are able to maintain and stay at a high level the way that Pereira has. And how many weight classes he's jumped up. He's an absolute beast and killer puncher. But Ciryl Gane is all around. He's very good. He's a good striker, and he's durable. So this is an interesting, really interesting fight. When I saw this, I was like, oh, Pereira, of course. That's my guy. I'm picking him. Then I saw, ooh, it's Ciryl Gane. I'm like, ugh.
And he looked pretty good against Aspinall before the pokes.
Yes. No, Ciryl Gane's no joke. He's very, very, very dangerous. I'm gonna go Pereira because that's my guy. I'm gonna stick with my kickboxers. I got history. I got history with Pereira, so I'm going Pereira.
Well, it's been a kickboxing year.
Yeah, it's been a kickboxing lifetime for me. So let's stick with it. It's been working out for me. It's been working out along the way.
Gane by stoppage +320.
Oof, I don't see that. I don't see that.
Pereira has been stopped by way smaller guys. Iggy has, I almost said Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, but Izzy, Adesanya. Izzy was at his heights back then.
Maybe he was smaller, though. But also,
yeah. Pereira but, was no, smaller. But Pereira was killing himself to make that weight.
I can't believe he made that weight.
Insane. When you see his chin now, like you realize, like, oh, okay, he was actually really killing himself. To get knocked out the way he did against Izzy, you're like, okay, this guy was
damaging
himself.
Izzy finally got one. He needed that win.
He had lost three times in a row for the guy.
I did see Pereira at the Netflix card, and I was like, good God, the guy is...
He's gigantic.
He's so big.
Gigantic. Whatever you guys are watching, when you're thinking about watching, you have no idea how big that man is.
He walks like a caveman. Like, he walks so slow. He said one word Chama. The whole time. It was so amazing. Like, the link up was everything I thought it would be. It was Rampage being like, oh, shit. Him going up to Rampage and whispering, Chama.
Chama.
That's all he said. And then they walked away. Yeah. And Rampage was like, yep, that went about exactly how I thought it would go. And I'm just sitting in the background like Forrest Gump, just like in the background of all night long. Sean O'Malley's on this card. Bo Nickel, Michael Chandler, who are your boys with?
A lot of strikers. Bo Nickel, obviously a wrestler, but Mikey's my homeboy from 15 years ago in Vegas.
Remember we saw him at Barry's Prime.
Yeah, that's right, randomly. Hey, Mike. Hey, Algieri, what's up?
And that was that, going our separate ways. Derek Lewis on this card as well.
Another striker and big knockout guy.
Yeah, so I think we're not always going to talk MMA on the show, but when there's big fights like this, I think there will be a boxing fan. I'm curious to know. I think there'll be a lot of boxing fans that want to see what it looks like, and then we'll tune in. I also think there are boxing fans out there that watch MMA as well. I get a lot of those people in our mentions and all that. Like I said, guys, not something we're always going to discuss on the show. Don't get worried. But it's a big...
I think our fans are going to realize how much I actually know about MMA.
I mean, we could if you want. I always put it out there. If you guys want to hear more MMA talk, let me know. Maybe do something else. This is a boxing, basketball, MMA episode of the show. It's midsummer, and we're what's this what we got? Yeah, and also just that really cool offer that FanDuel is putting out right now. Over to boxing, though. We have a big fight. Over to boxing, though.
Over to boxing, though. Never thought you'd say that on Inside Boxing.
Bam Rodriguez stepping back into the ring this weekend. He is fighting at 118 for the first time in his career. He's a huge favorite, plus 1240 against Antonio Vargas, who is a WBA champion who I got to call a few fights with. He signed with Box Labs, who works closely with MVP. Really serious guy, very technical fighter. Not getting the biggest fanfare this fight because this is Bam is expected to win in impressive fashion. But the story here is that Bam could potentially fight Inoue next.
Yeah, I might put the pump the brakes on that. I'm not sure that we're going to see that next.
Well, he's already talking about fighting Inoue's brother next, Bam.
Yes, exactly. So that's one thing, which is cool. It sets a nice narrative for, you know, fight to avenge their brother, because I think Bam beats Takuma pretty handily. But I was talking to Robert, you know, over the past couple of weeks. We deal with him a lot with Pro Box TV. And talking about what could be next. And he said he wants to unify 18. So I don't think we're obviously not going to get it next.
That's going to take a while then.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's the right move though. Like we talked about this on past episodes.
They also he wants to get him more accustomed to the weight before he moves up again.
I get that. Like, I get all that.
We got to get another fight after this first one, you know, at the weight class, and then jump up another weight class. Well, so it's
did you ask him about what the bag might look like for Inoue?
I did not, but that's not the way Robert operates. That's not the way his brain works.
Come on, bro.
No, it does. Like, don't get me wrong. It gets to a point where doesn't matter how rational you are, you're like, all right, well, I got to do it. But I don't know, man. I'm feeling. I was optimistic about this fight happening. I'm getting into the pessimistic side because I don't know how long they have to bridge this gap before it's too far gone.
I think it's got to happen first quarter of next year.
That's first the very last
half of next year.
Very last chance.
Because there are two ships passing in the night. Bam can say all these things. I want to unify at 118, which is still one weight class before the Inoue is in.
Yeah.
But
are we asking too much as fans? Like,
I don't think I think Bam is so special. I think the biggest fights are being made right now. I think we're getting further and further away from protecting your record. And it's more about what Turkey wants to do to satisfy all of the pressures and needs that they have over there. I think it's now. And I think that Bam obviously is going to take a very hard look at this fight once this fight with Vargas is over, once he has one fight at 118 before potentially going to 122. We talked about this at the beginning of the show with catchweights. And over the course of the history of boxing, we've seen fights happen, maybe not at the right time, but he's got to take the fight, Bam. There's no other big fight out there. What if Inoue says it's now or never? Like, Inoue has his own schedule. This guy is a freaking economy in itself. He could say, I got one more at 122, and then I'm going to 126.
Which is in his right. He can do whatever he wants, and that is what makes sense. Because you got to think, how much does staying back at 22 hurt him? Is he grown out of the weight class? Is he moving up because he's forcing the move? I don't think so. I think he's moving up because his body's grown into a new weight class, and he's taking his time going up, which he's done in the past. He's built the right kind of lean tissue to move up properly and still carry his power. So, yeah, I agree. This is now or never. And I think if it was put to Bam the way you just said, I think Bam takes it.
Bro, Bam can fight for the rest of
his
career.
Savage.
He can fight for the rest of his career and not make the same amount of money as he would in one night against Inoue.
Maybe.
He could make 10-15 against Inoue.
He has gone up and down before. He went up to fight Quadras like on short notice, got a world title, and then went back down to 112. So it's not like he couldn't go back down.
Dude, he could also beat Inoue, and then you have a rematch.
Very true.
I haven't even thought about what the fight would look like, handicapping it.
I feel like it's too far away for me to conceptualize.
I would love to see the odds, because Inoue has to be a slight favorite.
Yeah, I would be hard-pressed to think that he wouldn't be the favorite, in which case I'd be putting money on Bam.
But think about it, though. Like, Nakatani had those moments. I know they fight way totally different, Nakatani and Bam. They should fight next. That should be the fight at 120. Yeah. That should be – Bam should fight Vargas. Then he should go to 122, fight Nakatani.
No, he should fight Vargas. Then he should fight Takuma, in a way.
And then Nakatani?
He should go to 22, fight Nakatani.
Okay, then we're into, 2027 at this point. And Inoue is older, could be at featherweight.
Well, no. So Robert said this. He said he told me this yesterday. He said that after this fight with Bam, he said he's going to give him, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, and he's getting right back in the gym, and he wants him to fight again soon, October.
Oh, I love that. It's supposed to be a really good crowd over in Arizona for this Bam fight. I love Bam Rodriguez. I want to see him against Inoue. I think that's what it has. It's not going to be as big as the Nakatani fight because that's the Japan aspect of it, but it brings something totally different to the table. Like your imagination, oh my God, I never thought I'd see Bam in Inoue. An American fighting the Japanese aspect, which we saw with Fulton. And Fulton Inoue was huge. It's one of our biggest shows we've ever done was our post-fight show, Inoue over Stephen Fulton, which was 2-3 days before Spence Crawford in 2023. Eddie Hearn says that Netflix potentially is interested in airing the show. I would like to see if that's the case, would it still be in Japan? I think it would have to be in Japan because I don't know what the type of numbers it does here, because Bam does sell tickets, but not the way Inoue sells tickets in a Tokyo Dome. They got to do that Tokyo Dome. Just do that in the Tokyo Dome and maximize the dollars. Now that we're overlooking Antonio Vargas here, +1240 underdog in this fight, has never fought anyone close to the level of Bam Rodriguez. One line that I do like here is I've watched Vargas fight. He's very tough. He's very technical, very prideful guy. All that could be thrown out the window because Bam is just otherworldly. Is the fight to go the distance or Bam on points? It's +430.
Wow. That's a juicy number.
Can Antonio Vargas last? Can he survive?
I think he can. I'm going with that.
That's your pick.
That's my pick.
You could parlay that with a Gaethje stoppage. You're a rich man.
I'm going to parlay that with a Topura stoppage. Pereira stoppage.
Three-legger.
Nick's winning game four. I'm getting real in the weeds.
Algeria, the parlay prince.
Parlay prince.
Next thing you know, he's on the FanDuel social media getting interviewed for his great parlay.
How did you come to this?
I just threw shit at the wall. No, actually, I'm staring right at that Vargas, that line. Is Bam by
points. I can see that. It's Bam's first time in the weight class. This kid has, he's been stopped once, but
it was a while ago. It was 2019.
Yeah, early in his career, he got caught in the first round. But I don't know.
Where's Bam? When's the last time Bam went the distance? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. 2023 against Christian Hernandez.
That's when he broke his jaw.
I thought he broke his jaw against Israel Gonzalez. Fight before that?
Right, yes. It was the one before that, yes.
Yeah, he took some time off, came back, looks like 8 months later. Back-to-back 12-rounders in 2022 went to 2023. And then he had the stoppage of Sonny Edwards, stoppage of Juan Francisco Estrada, Pedro Guerva, Cafu stoppages. Fernando Daniel Martinez was his last win way back in November. That's why, they got to get this guy going because he hasn't fought since November either. So That is the fight this weekend. Keep an eye on it. There's a little bit of value there. Should be a good one too. Have you been keeping track of this Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua kind of stories here? These news that's coming out of this on where the fight could be? Because I saw Boxing Scene put out a story that it could potentially land at SoFi Stadium. I'm like, give me a break. No freaking way.
You got to do it in Wembley. Come on.
At Wembley.
What are we talking about? We're making history here. It's got to be in Wembley.
Well, Fury might be taking a tune-up fight. Obviously, Josh was taking his tune-up fight against another kickboxer. It's the year of the kickboxer in Prenga on July 25th on DAZN. So Tyson Fury said, I got to take another one because Makhmudov just wasn't enough. So another tune-up for Fury.
And that worries me because I think Fury got enough rounds in with Makhmudov. He got stressed enough. He showed that he still got that the winning mentality in him, but...
He's fighting another no. He's even more of a no-hoper than Makhmudov.
Makhmudov, yeah. But, I take that back because now you get another training camp for Fury. And with him, it's it becomes weight management, keeping him out of trouble, keeping him out of the pubs. So it's probably a good idea to keep him busy.
Keep him out of the pubs. Just found out MVP just announced Chantel Cameron versus...
Saw that.
Kayla Mayer, which is going down Birmingham, United Kingdom.
What weight?
154.
54.
That's where Cameron's campaigning at now. Much smaller, Cameron. I think Mayer is going to win this fight.
She's a 40-pounder, no? She fought
Katie, beat Katie Taylor. And I thought she won the rematch.
Yeah, Chantel Cameron's good.
She is really good.
How is she at 54, though?
You know what, with the women boxing, it's like...
I know, it doesn't matter as much. But,
it's just like they fluctuate and they look for the best fight. That's what I actually like about it, is they any fight is possible in a 20-pound weight range. But the big story here is your boy Dan is going to the UK for the first time.
Nice. Big story.
Number one story. Jake Paul didn't tweet about it yet, but he will.
He will.
London.
He's saving the good stuff for... as you get closer.
Birmingham, I've heard mixed things. It's like 3 hours from London. Our UK listeners, what type of experience will I be having in Birmingham? Please let me know. Chris, do you know anything about
it? What does Dan need to do? What's his checkoff list while in Birmingham?
Birmingham. Fish and chips.
Pints.
I have been eating a lot of gluten lately, and I'm living. I'm survived.
You haven't died.
Haven't keeled over. Haven't had horrible stomach problems. I've been like easing it in.
You're like microdosing the poison. So when you drink it, finally
has some wings in the
Princess. In the Princess Bride, when he kills the Brainiac guy.
Way back. Yeah, I had some breaded wings the other night at the Knicks game, my game two party.
You're living dangerously, bro.
Yeah, but I washed them down with some gluten-free beers that I sent you I'm not drinking gluten yet. That's the level. Like that's easing my way in. Like I got gluten-free beers from Whole Foods. I sent you a picture of them.
Not very cheap, I hear.
Four of them for $18.
That's crazy.
In a can, bro. Not even a glass bottle.
At least there's alcohol in them, because if you get into NAs, the NAs are
expensive. Oh, I don't believe in those.
Yeah.
What's the point? Unless you're pregnant, what's the point of drinking a non-alcoholic beer?
What's the point?
Wolf of Wall Street? He's like finally sober.
Yeah.
And Donnie's like, he's drinking the the non-alcoholic beers. He's like, what are those, non-alcoholics? He's like, what, do you got to drink like 12 of them to get fucked up?
Yeah, he's like, you drink enough of them, you still get fucked up?
He's like, no, I just like the taste. I don't get it, but yeah.
What a quotable movie.
One of the most rewatchable movies ever. Although I do turn it off, like, once the FBI shows up, like, when the fun is over and it turns into him, like, just trying to now not get arrested, the movie takes. It's a classic Scorsese.
Yeah, the darkness turns.
Yeah, like Goodfellas hits a point where it's all fun. They're living the best life ever.
Then
they're robbing.
And it's just anxiety.
They're killing. And then it goes into the most anxiety-riddled last hour of Goodfellas. Yeah. That's the same thing with Wolf of Wall Street. The last hour and a half, fun still. But it's like, the party's over. This guy's... So anyway, I'm eating gluten again. And I'm going to Birmingham.
Birmingham.
And then...
But that's a good fight, Mikaela Mayer and... And Chantel Cameron. Chantel Cameron.
Oh, it's two top five pound for pound. Caroline Dubois is on the card as well. We're doing a little bit of UK versus. Oh, she's amazing. UK versus US. The whole card.
I'm gonna go as far to say that those are two of my favorite female fighters in the world today.
Mayer and Dubois
and Mikaela Mayer. Yes, really, really like both of them. Just the way they go about it. Everything, the way they go about their how they deal with other fighters, the dais, the mm-hmm. press conferences, how they fight. Mm-hmm. They're two of my favorite female fighters today, and they're on the same card, so it's a good card.
Yeah, Meyer has put up some really good performances over the years. Like, throws like 100 punches around. I thought she's
hard to beat.
I thought she very beat Bumgarner.
Yeah,
and she's fought everyone. She'll go up to any weight class. She just fights a fan friendly style. And Dubois is just ferocious. She is waiting in the wings of being the face of boxing, women's.
Yeah, she is mean. And from my understanding, you told me she's very, very sweet. I can see that, but she's mean in the
sweet
ring.
Sweet Caroline.
Man. Sweet Caroline, she will knock your block off.
On this BAM card this weekend is Elif Turhan, who is a champion at 130 pounds, hard punching. Like, no one wants to fight this girl. She's fighting Gabriela Tellez.
Oh, I know her, the Turkish girl.
Yeah, bro. This chick is no joke.
Yeah, she's rough. She is super rough.
13-0, 8 stoppages. She's got a belt at 130.
But she's fighting Gabriela Tellez. That's a good fight.
Dubois told me that they were trying to make the fight with Turhan. She signed with Matchroom, and Matchroom and MVP are cordial. A lot more than in the past where there was litigation involved, but it seems like they are willing to work with each other. But it's not going to be next. Like, Dubois wanted Turhan next for this fight in August, but it's too quick of a turnaround. So maybe, like, Dubois wants to go unified at 130. She obviously wants Bumgarner too. But Turhan's fighting Gabriela Tellez, the sister of the Tellez who fought Serrano very tough at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep an eye on this weekend.
I've called this girl, Tellez. She's tough. That's a good fight. But man, Turhan is... She is a killer puncher. When she knocked at the Brazilian Olympian Beatriz Vieira,
oh yeah,
that was wild.
Yeah.
She's a legit puncher, and as a female, it's so rare. Nice.
Give me Dubois Turhan end of the year.
That's violence.
MVP card. Do it somewhere cool. Send your boy Dan. I'm going to Orlando this weekend.
Orlando's not that cool.
Carib, it's an easy flight.
Carib is very
freaking comfortable. Love the Carib. I've been there 20 times. I know all the spots.
We're going to give Carib its flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Carib does rule.
It's amazing.
But that whole area, though.
No, I don't leave the resort.
It's Disney. It's just that there's no good food, and it's like all fast foods and box stores.
I don't leave the resort. The resort has everything I need.
In the worst way.
And it was going to be a problem because if the Knicks had swept, like tonight, if they went up 3-0 last game, they swept tonight. The parade was going to be Friday, and I was going to have to be in Orlando. And I'm not missing the Knicks parade. I've been waiting my whole life for the Knicks parade. We would have had.
You want to go to that? That's going to be hell. That's how you know I'm older than you, Dan. No, I avoid stuff like that.
I don't know. I have one friend who works for the NYPD who in the past has hooked our family up, our friends up at Thanksgiving Day parades and like brought them super close. This is a whole other beast. I'm once again getting ahead of myself here. This is what we were doing with the Knicks. If there is a Knicks parade, they're expecting 3 million people, which is like 1.5 million more than the Yankee parade or a Giants parade. I almost like have to go.
I will not be one of those million, put it that way.
I just.
What would be the date of that? When are they?
It's usually 2 days after the
final win.
So it could be if the Knicks win on Saturday night, it could be Monday, and then it could be next week. I just don't want to miss. I want to have the option to potentially go to it. But I will be in Orlando this weekend. Game 5, Saturday night, I'll be watching on my phone while covering the MVP fights. That's really it, though. Yeah, I wanted to talk the Tyson Fury-Joshua thing. Like, that's going to be at Wembley. Eddie Hearn even came out and said that it's in the contract that the fight has to be at a UK venue. What's interesting about this, too, is that Dana White is still saying that he is going to promote this fight.
Yeah, I've saw a lot of back and forth with that. Like,
I'm calling for a ceasefire of the Dana White Eddie Hearn beef. It's run its course. If you guys are not going to fight, then just shut the hell up. It's two millionaires arguing.
It's not interesting anymore.
It was interesting when he signed Aspinall over the winter, and it was like fun. And then the Conor Benn stuff. Now they're just going on and on and on, back and forth at each other. Apparently, Dana White had to delete some tweets or delete some videos saying that he was going to promote it. Eddie Hearn would like bragged about that. It was a win for Eddie. Eddie's saying he will not let Tom Aspinall fight again in the UFC. Then you have Dana White say, put your money where your mouth is. Go ahead and release Bam Rodriguez if you release Conor Ben. Like, what are we doing? Like, I get it. It's part of boxing.
Are we holding guys hostages now? We're swapping the you know, Brittany Griner for the
Warlord?
The war, yeah, the arms.
Most lopsided trade in the history of trades? Yeah.
This would also be the most lopsided, another lopsided trade for Ben for Bam. Well, come on.
Aspinall. Oh, Ben for Bam, yeah. And Aspinall, I do believe that Aspinall is a pawn in all of this, but he's making money off of it somehow.
Pawns make money in this sport.
It's crazy. Yeah, I think Fury Joshua does land in the UK. I'd be pretty upset if it doesn't. If it ends up on Netflix, does anyone really care?
We should try to go.
I would love to go. I'd like to, you know, get my beak wet in Birmingham. Jesus. And then go to London at the end of the year for the big one.
London town. God, I just hope we get there. We got both these guys fighting before then. It's nerve-wracking. You got both these guys fighting. They're older and, you know, the chins don't get better as you age in the heavyweight division.
Can you imagine if Joshua got slumped?
It's possible. That's the problem. I'm going to be watching that fight, you know, very concerned.
July 25th, Joshua returns.
Tyson almost lost to Ngannou, guys. Like, he's going to, you know, you're supposed to have this gimme fight. Yeah, that was supposed to be a gimme fight, too.
Two gimmies for Fury?
Most people thought he did lose.
Yeah, speaking of potentially going to fights, we have secured our location. We will be throwing another pre-fight party for Zayas versus Boots. June 27th, we're going to be headed to McMahon's Public House. It is a one-minute walk to the Barclays Center. We're probably going to start at around 5 o'clock. I'm going to have way more information. All the details, ticket prices are going to still remain at $20. They're going to be drink specials. We're going to be there, get some fighters there. Last time, it was an absolute zoo in there. We had over 250 people. So you want to go ahead and buy these tickets fast. It's only 17 days away. I'm excited, Chris. New York City, Brooklyn. We're taking another party, another inside boxing party.
Yeah, I'm excited too. These go really well. It's fun to interact with the listeners and to talk boxing, man. And people love these things. We only do it for really big fights. This is a big fight. And we're taking the show on the road. We're leaving our comfy Jack Doyle's in New York City, and we're going on the road to Brooklyn. We got found another Irish named spot to hang out and watch boxing. So,
yeah, the owner, of course, knew Teddy Atlas, which is my long running theory that everyone has 6 degrees of separation to Teddy Atlas.
That's probably even less than that.
Yeah, he's like, my brother, best friends with Teddy Atlas. Or he said something like, I'm very close personal friends with Teddy Atlas. I was like, okay. This is what everyone tells me. That and their grandfather fought in the Golden Gloves.
Yes. Hey, you a Golden Gloves?
Yeah, my grandpa. He won it. Everyone's grandpa won it.
My grandpa won it.
Apparently, there were no losers back in the 30s and 40s.
No one ever lost.
Everyone won. And you won't lose if you come to our pre-fight party at McMahon's Public House. So in the next couple of days, I'll have the link and have everything set up. Came together a little bit closer to the fight this time around, but we had to figure out our schedules and all that. But that's going to be a great night. That's the next big one, Zayas and Boots. The lines on that are getting crazy. Becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger favorite.
Are there leaks from camps? What's happening? What is happening?
What is happening? What's happening is that no one believes in Zayas, and they're just putting way more money on. They're believing the Boots hype, which is what it is. Hype Boots. There's so much hype around Boots. We've seen a lot with our eyes, but Zayas is his toughest fight. Yeah, Zayas is his toughest fight, and Boots is Zayas's toughest fight, and Zayas is Boots' toughest fight. It's a good card, too. Emiliano Vargas versus Bryce Mills.
Yeah. Bryce Mills has been on a little bit of a run.
I called his last fight up in Turning Stone. This guy brought out like at least 5,000 to 7,000 fans.
He's the upstate Chris Algieri.
He really is. He kind of like has your whole like demeanor, too. Like clean-cut kid. Good for him. I really enjoyed calling his fight. And he called out Vargas after the fight. I remember kind of like rolling my eyes a little bit. I was like, he's not going to get, number one, he's not going to get that fight. Number two, he's not going to win.
Got it.
He got it. Good for him. He's on this card. Ben Whitaker is on this card, fighting Popeye, the Sailor Man, Rivera.
Yeah, that's a star boxing Joe DiGuardia guy, Popeye. He's a tough kid, but that's tough style matchup, put it that way. But he is durable. He has the ability to push Whitaker, unless Whitaker just splashes him, which he might. Yeah,
star power. I'd like to talk to Ben. Fight week, do a little interview with him, get the vibe for him. I've been pretty constructive criticism. Not that he needs it from me. But, you know, with the whole showboating and Whitaker, he's been through it all, Ben.
Been through a lot so far.
Now he's going to come over to the U.S. and face the hard-hitting questions of Dan Canobio.
That's the name of your next show.
Hard-hitting questions. Do you think we're going to go into the fight? We did not go into the Garden for Shakur versus Tio. It was about negative 10 degrees out.
That's right.
We had a great spot at Jack Doyle's. They had sound on. When does a bar have sound on?
And everybody stayed. We brought that place down.
Do we go in to the Barclays? We will be credentialed. Those are our friends, DAZN and Matchroom.
I think you and I will decide that
game 10 decision.
Off air and let everybody kind of mull around it.
Yeah, this is a pre-fight part. There will be an option to stay. I don't know for sure if we'll be showing the fight, but at Jack Doyle's, they did show it. It is a pay-per-view on DAZN. You have to have the ultimate. A lot of bars don't have that, which is my major beef with DAZN, is that you just don't see these fights. You don't get to see them. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. We will be traveling all over the continental U.S., and then we'll be back probably Monday because we're going to be traveling. Chris, that show is Sunday night on DAZN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Saturday night on ESPN Plus is the MVPW card. Saturday night Knicks.
And the White House card is also Sunday.
Sunday Paramount Plus. Not on CBS, which I thought was shocking. I thought for sure they'd put a few fights on CBS to get, you know, hey, this is what it looks like. Now go over to Paramount. I think Paramount put their foot down and was like, no, this whole thing is going to be on Paramount.
I get it.
All right.
Gotta do business.
Gotta do biz. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. MMA Dan, MMA Chris are out.